Welcome to Dyslexia Explored, a podcast where we explore dyslexia, we do interviews with people, and we learn about dyslexia from books like The Dyslexic Advantage. In fact, I like Dyslexic Advantage so much. This is our first book, and we've been doing it for months. And it's packed full of great ideas, and today we're going to look at Chapter 10. We're going to have podcast interviews happening with guests soon. But during this COVID season, for a short period of time, we've just been doing some daily dips into Dyslexic Advantage as a book club. So today's chapter is chapter 10, and I want to share with you three little quotes and then develop them from my perspective, from the Bullet Map Academy perspective. In many ways, what I'm trying to do here is I'm going to ask my tutors, the coaches in Bullet Map Academy, to listen to these tips and podcast episodes as part of their training. And in doing so, maybe it can help train up some of you who are tutors or parents yourself and who want to understand dyslexia and how to be more effective in helping your child with dyslexia through these little episodes. So tip number one today is, there's three things I want to share. Number one is the quote here where it says, stop looking at spelling and start looking at content. Okay. Number two, well, actually the quote is, an author was looking back and he was saying how profound it was in his teenage years when he met two teachers, a biology teacher and a history teacher. And when they looked at his work, it was the first time. And he said, this is what happens. It was the first time this happened. He said, it had a profound effect on his life because, quote, they stopped looking at my spelling and started looking at the content of what I was writing. There was a revolution in my brain because that helped me to see that I had good ideas. I just couldn't spell them right. That's tip number one. Tip number two is same guy in page 80, the page before. He says, I kept field notes of my observations, but it was difficult for me to write. So instead I made lots of diagrams and sketches of the birds that I would see and the flowers I would find. So this is a famous ornithologist in California called Jack Laws, explaining how, you know, he started to write books, but it all started when he started taking visual notes in his journal. Okay, so that's the second tip, take visual notes. And then the third tip is, don't be afraid of technology. Page 82, not being afraid of technology and embracing what can help you is crucial. That's a tip. So basically he's saying, embrace technology because it can be crucial in helping you. So those are the three tips that I'm taking out of chapter 10. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that in more depth today and how you can practically apply that in life. So as a teacher, as a tutor myself, as a trainer, as a parent, there are lots of different ways to apply this. Yesterday we were talking about how to give feedback when you see someone's work. So do you say that's good or bad? Or do you say, oh, I like how you did this, or I like how you did that. You must have spent a lot of time on this and that's interesting how you did that. There's very different ways of giving feedback. And the same applies here, again, in a slightly different way. You know, are you going to allow yourself to be distracted by poor spelling, poor grammar, and poor writing? Or are you going to look past them and look to the content? Because you've got to understand something about people with dyslexia. The most important thing to us is content. What is the meaning of something? What is the really valuable part of what we're trying to deliver to someone? Is the core content. We're not too fussed about how beautiful it looks or the delivery or the spelling and so on. That's not what our attention is on, those kind of details. Our attention is on the core content. And here in chapter 10, they're talking about their second mind strength, M-I-N-D, First is material reasoning. Second is I, standing for interconnected reasoning. And so there's this interconnected reasoning that is an aspect of many people's dyslexia skill set. And that interconnectedness, we're wanting to understand how lots of things connect. And to the expense often of understanding the details of spelling, punctuation, grammar, and the smaller nuances. So it's really important to realize that we're not being careless about spelling, about grammar, and so on. We just don't see it in the same way as you do because we're looking past it towards the content. And often once you get into the older years of education, go to Oxford University, for example. They're not too fussed. I've got some students, one student in the Bullet Map Academy's got a doctorate from Oxford University. And the wonderful thing about going to Oxford or Cambridge is so much of the assessment is done verbally. So you sit with your assessor and discuss things backwards and forwards, and they're continually assessing you on that basis. You have discussions about things and so on. You don't write so many essays about things because things are rapidly going through. Go read this, come to a seminar and discuss it. Go read this, come to a tutorial and discuss it with 3, 4, 5 people. And that rapid process of learning, discussing, explaining, and getting feedback really helps a dyslexic mind. Ironically, you're better off going to Oxford and Cambridge than a second tier university because that relies on writing backwards and forwards because we're so much better at that level. And often there's a lot of dyslexic people in Oxford and Cambridge because that is their mode of thinking and they're highly intelligent at the same time. So the point I'm making is look through the spelling. And if you're a coach listening to this, a tutor listening to this, you really need to take this to heart. And so here's a dilemma that we often face as tutors. A child will present a piece of written work. And in our case, so a child will present a map of their thoughts. And often you can't even read the words on the map. So it's actually literally illegible. They could be 12 or 13 years old. So what we do is we say, okay, fine. We don't judge it. We just say, right, okay, that those are your notes. We're not looking at your notes. We're interested in how you explain your ideas with your notes. So please take those notes and talk me through what those notes mean. And so they'll take that bit of paper, and it's quite remarkable. I should show you some of these videos sometimes. Take a piece of scrappy note, and they start talking through it. And the way they talk through it is so eloquent, and it makes so much sense. And you realize what looks like a six-year-old's scribbly notes is actually a 13-year-old's clear understanding and expression of a subject, of some content. And so often it's really helpful as a teacher to say, look, I don't quite get what you're saying here. Could you just explain it to me, please? Talk me through it. And so the child talks you through it and you go, ah, wow, I see your ideas. I see you. I understand you. I understand your ideas, where you're coming from. And then you start understanding not just the ideas, but the connections the child's making. So that's the next tip I would give you in all of this is connections. As a parent, one thing that's really useful to learn in this scenario of interconnected thinking is when you're having a conversation with your child at the dinner table, for example, often it will seem like your child is being rude because they're just switching subjects straight away to something that is totally unrelated to the conversation. So in society, this is the rule. If you're having a conversation, you carry on the conversation that was happening before. You develop the conversation. You don't just suddenly switch straight out of the conversation into something else that you want to talk about. You have to segue into it. You have to transition into it. It's just, you see that in conversations, and children learn that over time. And obviously, if a conversation topic has come to its end, then you move to another topic. But if you've got dyslexia, here's what often happens. You'll be talking about having a conversation about one particular topic, and then suddenly the dyslexic child will start introducing a completely different topic. And you'll start thinking, hold on a minute, we've not finished this conversation yet. Why are you cutting in? But if you listen to them for another 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes, eventually they'll explain the link between what they've just brought up and what you were saying. For example, let's take an example just now. It could be you're talking about COVID-19, and you're talking about some of the things that are going on and, you know, precautions the government's taking and things like that. And then all of a sudden, your child starts talking about pangolins, and you're like, Philip, you know, we're talking about COVID right now. And she's like, yeah, I mean, pangolins are really important because, you know, they eat them in China and they're taken from the wild and it's not a really very good thing to do and so on and so forth and blah, blah, blah. And then they'll say, and some people think that COVID-19 came from the pangolins. And eventually you hear the link. Now, one thing you can do as a parent is not just wait for them to make that connection, but to train your child to tell you in advance what the connection they made is. So you're in a conversation and you say, oh, COVID-19, the government's doing this, that, and next. And then the child chips in and says, do you know what? You talking about COVID-19 reminded me of something I read about pangolins, because they might have brought COVID-19 in. You see, in China, they da-da-da-da-da. So you're saying all the same stuff, but you bring to the front what the link is. Now, often if you're a very interconnected thinker, you need to learn this habit to say, oh, that reminds me of, so you're making that link. You're helping the other person you're communicating with follow your connections, because your connections will jump out with their frame of reference and they won't see it. It's like over here, you're looking at it. And you kind of need to, instead of talking about what's over there, you can say, by the way, over here, I met or I saw or I listened to, and it to do with this. And the person's like, oh, great. And they get to benefit from your interconnected thinking. So that's another tip there in terms of interconnected thinking. Obviously, we talked about field notes. It's really important that you take notes with dyslexia, otherwise it goes in one ear, out the other. And if you're not so good at writing, some people are so poor at writing, they're not just dyslexic, they're dysgraphic. And so it's really hard to write. And taking visual notes helps tremendously. You don't need to write words. You can do a doodle, a diagram, arrows, directions, shapes, shading, all the rest of it. And that can really mean something to you. So that's the fourth tip, you know, the next tip, take notes, make them visual. And finally, from the book, embrace technology, it's crucial. I have a love-hate relationship with technology, to be honest with you, okay? I love technology in so many ways. I've got my iPad, my iPhone X, I've got an iPad Pro, I've got a MacBook, I've got my microphones, dictaphones, all sorts of different stuff, anything, whiteboards, anything that will help me organize my thoughts and compensate for some of the procedural, lower level, organizational, you know, clerical level tasks that my brain's not so good at, I delegate to technologies, especially a paper and a pen. It's the best technology in the world. And actually, now that the iPad and tablets have come out and you can actually put, you know, pen to paper digitally, properly now, do you like that? I spelt spelling wrong deliberately, I think. you can actually start taking some real proper visual notes rather than just these spider diagram note-taking apps that are just spider diagrams, lots of words, and really hard to get some meaningful visuals in there. But now you've got the combination of tech and old tech and new tech. The best tech is a paper and pen. The next best tech on top of that is Apple Pencil and an iPad, actually, in my opinion. And then there's tons of other great tech. So get used to tech, start loving tech for learning. Now, what happens once you start looking through the spelling to the content? Stop looking at spelling, start looking at content. What happens is your child starts to enjoy learning again. And if you really want your child to start enjoying learning, then they need to start enjoying using their brain the way it was made. And it's made to be visual. It's made to be three-dimensional. It's made to be interconnected. It's made to tell stories. It's made to, you know, be a pattern recognition machine, you know. We're made like that. 1 in 10 people are made like that. And once you start learning in that way, you start enjoying learning. So this podcast is brought to you by Bullet Map Academy. We are all about helping you prepare for when dyslexia gets in the way, for when dyslexia gets in the way of organizing, or in the way of reading comprehension, or in the way of taking notes of what you listen to, or in the way of remembering for tests, or in the way of explaining things, verbally, presentations, essays. All those five things, dyslexia affects all of those five things, not just reading, but all of those five things. And that's what we do at Bullet Map Academy. We help children be equipped for when dyslexia strikes and gets in the way. And you can push it out the way and get into gear, stay in gear and keep moving and enjoying learning again. So I hope you enjoyed that little podcast, and we're going to go to some questions from folk that are watching and listening. Thanks for being here. I'm just going to look you up. If you've got any questions, I'm going to look up at all the comments just now on the live. So if you've got any comments, please share them just now, or questions or personal experiences, just put them into the comments right now. Let's have a look at these. There we go. So, talk it up. What pen and tablet is that? Okay. Any other questions? We've got talk it up here. Let's see what your comment is. Seymour, totally me. I converse like this. Never knew why, except I like to give a visual by painting a picture to the listener. Yeah, good point. Painting a question to the listener is a really good topic. Point there. And one of the things that I was sharing a few days ago relates to this is, you know, often we are visual thinkers, and often people don't necessarily talk in visual language. And so sometimes it's really helpful if someone's explaining something, it's really helpful to ask them this kind of question. It's really helpful to say, is it kind of like this? Is it kind of like that? And so what's happening is when you use the phrase, is it like, it's kind of like if you're in a movie, if you're talking about films, is it kind of like Die Hard meets Pretty Woman? You know, so you're talking about a movie and they're like, oh, is this great movie? I'm thinking about whatever. And in the movie business, they go, it's kind of like Die Hard meets Pretty Woman. And people have a frame of reference and they go, all right, I know Die Hard, I know Pretty Woman, I can picture them. This is interesting. Tell me more. Okay. And so when you say, is it like a tree? Or is it like, you know, when you put oil on water? And, you know, there's all these kind of experiences that are often three-dimensional or 3D kind of experiences and thoughts that you can have. And when you ask it as a question, often the person can give it back to you in your language, which is it like a picture? And so it's a really useful term to get past the words and into the content. Which is what we are always trying to do with dyslexia, is to get past all of these words into the actual idea. And that's a good way of doing it. Any other questions? Oh, I think that's it. Okay, no questions. Guys, really great to be seeing you. What we're going to be doing over the next couple of weeks is we're going to be inviting a lot more podcast guests onto the podcast. It's time to get some more guests in. We're going to be doing it live here at 5, live at 5, Monday to Friday, each week, live at 5, with a podcast guest or me sharing a tip with you that's kind of inspired by Dyslexic Evangelist. You have to read the book. Please don't get it like I'm telling you everything that's in this book. This is not a Dyslexic Advantage audio book. You know, you need to get the book. You need to read it for yourself or listen to it for yourself. I am very much just pulling out some of the basic concepts and ideas and a few quotes and putting my own spin on it. So remember that, you know, I am not Dr. Brock Eade. And for Nadette Eade, they are way more experienced as educational psychologists than I am. I'm a practitioner. They are the educational academic pros. I'm the person who practically applies the stuff. So please be aware of that distinction. So I will see you in tomorrow's podcast, and hopefully we will have a guest or two for you next week to come and join us. We're working on that right now. If you want to be a podcast guest, you're very welcome to come on to our Get in Touch With Us, message us and ask to be a podcast guest. We don't want lots of famous people, are fine, great, but or very academic or very, we want to hear in Dyslexia Explored about regular people's dyslexia stories, whether they're dentists or doctors or engineers or nurses or physiotherapists or whatever. We've had all of those on our podcast and more, because it's just fascinating to hear people's dyslexia story, where it's taken them, how they got to where they were, how they got through the teenage years is one of the key things that we keep returning to in all of this, because we have to get our children ready for puberty, for teenage years, you know, when they're 8 to 12 years old. This is a key moment to get them ready to go through high school, so you can get through high school and find their thing in life. And that often happens with learning some stuff right now, you know, when they're that age, so you're prepared and they're prepared when they're 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and then they can go through high school rather than doing it at the last minute while you're in high school. So that's a big aspect of what we talk about in Dyslexia Explored. We're not about the early years and learning to read and all of that jazz, which is very important. There's lots of people who do that really well. You need to check out Ellie Shever Schwartz's podcast for that kind of stuff. She's absolutely brilliant. She's got an early year children as well. That's the early years. Then you've got others who do training and podcasts and so on for adults, the adult years and so on. There's a few good ones there. Our thing is what happens after you learn to read and then before you get to high school. You know, how do you get through those 8 to 12 year old, that gap where there's nothing much around for dyslexics, parents of dyslexics and tutors of dyslexics and teachers of dyslexics. That's what we're trying to fill in here in this podcast. What do we do in those years? What's it like from a parent's point of view? What's it like from the child's point of view? And what's it like from a teacher or a tutor's point of view? We look at it from all those three points of view so that we can equip children to deal with dyslexia when it gets in the way, and how to be ready to be prepared to deal with dyslexia when it gets in the way of your life, in the way of reading, comprehension, of listening, of remembering, of explaining, and of life, of relationships, of the joy of learning, you know, all these different things. This is what this podcast is all about. So feel free to come and join us anytime. Just message me. And if you've got some sort of angle, love to hear it, because parents are fascinated by other parents and people's stories. So I'll see you later. Thank you for listening to Dyslexia Explored. If you want to know more, by the way, this podcast is brought to you by Bullet Map Academy. Bulletmapacademy.com/workshop is a great place to go and get some resources, practical skills, or bulletmapacademy.com to find out in general about this. And those links are in the show notes. You just tap on the episode. So I'll see you in the next episode. Bye-bye.
This podcast is sponsored by DyslexiaProductivityCoaching.com. It's my day job when I'm not hosting this podcast. Tell me, do you know what you want to achieve in the workplace, but you're struggling with how to achieve it? Maybe you suspect some traits of dyslexia are getting in the way. Well, that's where Dyslexia Productivity Coaching comes in, because we give you a simple productivity system for your Apple devices that harnesses the creativity that comes with your dyslexia. It includes proven methods like note-taking, reminders, speech-to-text, mind mapping, and more, all tailored to your needs. It'll free up your time and help you achieve outstanding results. Book a complimentary call to discuss it with me, and if you do it soon, I may also be available to coach you personally via Zoom. So don't be shy, go to dyslexiaproductivitycoaching.com or swipe up and book it now.